Okay, this coming week's Parsha is Parshas Matos Maaseh. In Eretz Yisrael, they're only going to be laning Maaseh, but this year, we are laning Matos Maaseh, so I'd like to begin with the beginning of the Parsha. The Parsha begins, Vayidaber Moshe al Rosh HaMatos. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the head of the Matos, and he says, Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing that Hashem commanded. And Rashi notes that Moshe Rabbeinu is unique, and that he introduces Nevuah not only with the phrase, Ko Amar Hashem, as other Nevi'im do, he also says, Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing. So what's the difference? And also, Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes does say, Ko Amar Hashem. So how are we supposed to understand when there is a difference between Ko Amar Hashem and also Zeh HaDavar? So Mori V'Rabbi, Rabbi Shechter, would often comment and quote the Kedushas Levi, the Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who notes that all other Nevi'im have a difference in the way that they perceive Nevuah as opposed to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. All other Nevi'im get their Nevuah as a chazon, and then they have to interpret the chazon in each Navi's own words, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, for whom the language was given to him specifically. And this, says Rosh Shechter, is that which is said, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im. He alone has the ability to apply mitzvos immediately, and also for future generations. He alone gets told by Hashem exactly what to say. He alone doesn't only have to interpret the chazon, he has the ability to go ahead and have the exact language, at least as far as when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, Lid Doros. So other Nevi'im are only able to say Ko Amar Hashem, and when Moshe Rabbeinu is offering Nevuah for which he only speaks to his generation, he says Ko Amar Hashem. But when he speaks to future generations, he says Zeh HaDavar, and that is what happens at the beginning of Parshas Matos. And then we go into the whole story and the whole series of laws concerning Nedarim. And the Torah tells us, Ish ki yidor neder l'Hashem, when a person takes a neder. So Rav Amital Zatzal, whose yahrzeit is today, Rav Amital notes that the Gemara's comparison of one who makes Nedarim to one who makes a Bama. And Hamakaimo, the Gemara says, Kol Hanoder Ki'ilu Bana Bama, the third parak of Nedarim, whoever makes a Neder is as if he's building a private Bama. Vamakaimo, and the one who keeps the Nedarim, Ki'ilu Hikriv Alaya Korban, it's like he's bringing a Korban. Bamos are not exactly a positive experience when not in temple times. So according to Rav Amital, a Bama represents a person's desire to depart from the standard route of the way that one does avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, because he wants to establish his own personal alternative route. Rav Amital added, likewise, when we give ourselves our own chumras, which we take on by taking on the Nedarim, that's also a retreat from the normal world of mitzvos. It's taking on more. A person's taking an additional track, a personal additional track, with which to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So rather than staying comfortable with Hashem's mitzvos, the Noder chooses the Torah system of Nedarim, and therefore isolates himself from the standard world of Avodas Hashem. One has to be very exceptionally careful when taking this approach, because one person's chumrah is another person's undoing. Torah goes on and adds, Lo yachel devaro kechol ayotzi mipiv yaaseh. A person shouldn't delay his words. Whatever he says, he should do. So Reb Zeidel Epstein Zatzal quotes Rav Yerucham Levavitz, who noted that the power of speech is a very strong one, and that the parsha of Nedarim is a reminder not to shirk the power of speech. Rav Yerucham explains that the power extended to man over animals is that power of being a medaber, and using the power properly makes man worth the power of being a medaber. So a person has to realize, right, lo yachel devaro, don't take that power and make it chulin. Don't take that power and turn it into something that's just very simple. In the middle of the Parshas Matos, we get into a very major issue concerning the Battle of Midian, and then the collection of the booty, and the laws of Hechsher and Hagalas Kalim are introduced. And uniquely in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Torah introduces these laws by saying, Zos chukas ha-Torah, this is the chuk of the Torah. And in that regard, saying Zos chukas ha-Torah seems strange. Shouldn't we use the phrase Zos chukas ha-Hagala? Hagalas Kalim is not exactly kol ha-Torah kula. So Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explains that just like when a kli becomes so tame that it's absorbed in the walls of the kli, the whole essence of the kli is tame, it's treif, so too the tumah in a person who wants to become tahor can become tahor as well. That is to say, nothing is so tame that it can't become tahor. However, there's a process, and the process is kibolo kach polto. And the way that it absorbed, that's the way it kicks things out. So Yitzchak Zilberstein Shalita, the famous posek of Eretz Yisrael and the world, adds that the tshuva for sinners needs to be like the sin, kibolo kach polto. If there was desire to do an avera, and that desire was as strong as fire, then the fervor for change has to be equal and opposite. Zos chukas haTorah. It's not just the Haggalah, it's the system for Torah. We want things to be equal and opposite. Towards the end of Parshas Matos, we read about Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. In Perek Lamed Beis, we're told, U'miknei Rav haya levnei Gad levnei Reuven. And the Ramban seizes on the idea that everywhere else, U'miknei Rav haya levnei Reuven levnei Gad is actually the language of the Torah. Because Ramban notes, everywhere else we talk about Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. In the discussion of this whole storyline, it's always Bnei Gad who precedes Bnei Reuven in conversation. Yet, when we talk about the introduction, it's Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad. And why is there a differentiation? Sir Chaim Kanievsky Shlita suggested that while both wanted to settle in Aver Hayadin, the primary reason why the Shevet of Reuven wanted to settle was because they had a lot of cattle. God knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was destined to pass in Aver HaYarden, and they wanted Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place to be in their chelek, in their midst. And since their reasoning was always more L'Shem Shamayim, every other time we discuss the matter, we discuss it as B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven, to highlight the positive. However, when we first introduce the concept, and we begin by talking about cattle, right, so therefore, we in this context, we mention Reuven first, because as far as the Miknei Rav, and that logic was concerned, Reuven precedes God. In Parshas Maaseh, we are introduced to the concept of Eretz Kanan L'Gvulosaha, and in Perek Lamedalad Pasuk Beis, the borders of Eretz Yisrael are not only geographically significant, because those borders are destined to expand. The Torah tells us, Ki Archiv Hashem Es Gevulcha. But so therefore, why are the borders highlighted? So Rav Yashiv Zatzal, whose Yartzeit is, if I believe, tomorrow, Rav Yashiv Zatzal notes that the borders highlight the land that was promised to Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. When we talk about Zos Haaretz, the land, Ki Es Haaretz HaZos, Nasati, Lecha, Kum V'Salech La'aretz, Lecha, La'arko L'rachba, Ki Lecha L'zarecha Et Nena, that land is the land that's identified in Parshas Maaseh. And the closer that one gets to these areas, as Rav Yashiv, the more that they teach us about Kedusha. And the same thing is true in regard to the proximity of Yerushalayim. The closer you are to the holier places, the more Kedusha that one has, because the more that one is identified within the standard positions of Eretz Yisrael. Finally, in the Parsha, the very, very end, after the story of Yahari Miklat is taught, we once again meet up with the Benos Tzlafchad. And here, Hashem turns to them and gives them advice, Latov be'enehem tiyana l'nashim. And here, the question has to be asked, we're dealing with daughters. Why is it Latov be'enehem? Why is it written in the masculine form? Shouldn't the word Latov be'enehen tiyana l'nashim? Why is it in the masculine? So the Lutzke Rav, Rav Saratskin in the Aznayim LaTorah, offers a fascinating, very important psychological insight. He suggests that when it comes to a shidduch, goodness of fit is important as well. It's not only okay for people to marry based on their own emotions, but knowing what a family would say helps guarantee long-term marital bliss. Says the Lutzke Rav, sometimes the girls and boys get so overwhelmed with an immediate emotional charge, and they fail to see the potential difficulties. It's like the Gemara says, "Kol anose isha she'ena hogenes lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sono velio roto. I think that's the language in the Kala Rabasi, the Gemara, and Kiddushin offers a slightly different interpretation. And Rabbi Peir, the Rosh Hashiva and Farako used to tell us, if you marry around your station and you don't look at what is hagun, what is the right way to go, then it's not within your station, and it causes all sorts of problems. Lato be'enehem, that the girl should think about what their father, what their brothers would have wanted, and therefore, if they had brothers, and therefore proceed accordingly. Finally, in the Haftorah that we read, which is the second of the Gimel de Paranusa, we read about, from Yirmiyahu, V'tosei HaTorah lo yida'uni. The bearers of Torah have not known me. And the Targum Yonason explains that this means that the teachers of Torah never bothered to teach Yerushalayim. And the author of Kelim used this to explain that the idea that Torah without Musar and Yerushalayim instruction is a potential disaster. It is the undoing of the teachers of the time. Because dry Torah knowledge without the opportunity to know Hashem doesn't bring about Torah commitment. The requirement is to get the proper mix of Torah and Yerushalayim, which if we do so, will help us grow mala mala, al bamo seha Torah, with strong wishes for Nechamas Tzion Yerushalayim, and wishes for a Shabbat Shalom to all.